Oh my God, do you have allergies too? I know, it's crazy. My nose is running all over the place. I'm coughing and I'm sneezing here and there for no reason whatsoever. What's going on? It's pollen all over the place. Okay, that's enough.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Really?
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
My allergies are off the charts. I've never had allergy problems throughout my life. Now I've got them and they're... I think I have allergies from other people. I think I'm allergic to other people. It's the only explanation. I don't think it's the pollen. I think it's human beings. As soon as you get close to another human being or within 10 feet of them, I start sneezing. I'm allergic to people. Not so bad when you think about it. I think I'm allergic to stupid people, especially. Yeah, stupid people, and I don't get along with them. I don't. I'm allergic to them. I think I'm also allergic to whiny, bratty little children. I think I'm allergic to them, too, because when I'm around them, I start sneezing and coughing and get all frustrated, and I feel like pulling my hair out, what's left of it. Yeah, I'm allergic to little whiny brats. I think I'm allergic to expensive things. Yeah, I went into a store, I wanted to buy a little jacket, and it was like over $100 for a jacket, you know, a piece of material with a couple of arms coming out of it. I mean, it was like over $100, and I started sneezing. I'm allergic to expensive jackets, I guess. Oh my God, what if there was a stupid person who had a little whiny kid and was wearing an expensive jacket? Oh, I'd go crazy. My allergies would go crazy. I guess I just have to learn to live with things. That's my problem. I gotta learn to live with it. When people say, Ron, why don't you just go with the flow? No, that's a tsunami. You don't go with the flow. No. Let me just take a second. Well, it's going to take more than a second, obviously. You know, like when people say that, let me just take a second of your time. No, you already did when you said that. You're going to take more than a second. Stop saying things like that. Let me take a second of your time and give credit where credit is due. This is my show, but I don't do it by myself. I know you don't hear other voices necessarily, but there's people behind the scenes giving me massages. The music that you hear is Jason Shaw. He composed that stuff for the show. Thank you, Jason. He's an amazing composer and performer. Background music is basically from him, including our theme music. Also, John Shanahan is a comedy writer. He's extraordinary. He does our comedy commercials, our opening announcement, and all the funny stuff you hear is that Shanahan guy. And then you have Nicole Reed, who is the British babe at the beginning of the show. She books a lot of our national interviews that we do here on the program, because I don't know how to do that. I'm not good at that. I'm not discerning. So she takes care of that stuff, and there's other people involved, but it starts to become petty at that point. So we just forget about that. But let me just take a moment of your time, shall I? Ron, you took up more than a moment, man. You took up a lot of moments there. I know. People say weird stuff. I was watching a Dr. Phil a couple of days ago. I know. I have no life. I get it. You don't have to say it. It's embarrassing. Don't say that to my face. I know I have no life. Why would I be watching Dr. Phil? I'm aware. So I'm watching him, and there's some woman on stage, and her children are she has grown children, and they're complaining that they're all alcoholics or drug users. I don't know, something's wrong with them. And the mother's sitting there, and she's trying to own the fact that she didn't raise her children properly, and she was a bad mother. So she's sitting there. She's talking to Dr. Phil, and she has this conversation quirk that a lot of people have. And I find it so funny when I hear someone use this conversation quirk, because it's hilarious to me. What she does is she basically self-interviews. Yeah, she actually, in talking to you, she takes on the role of you as if you were asking her questions. Here's what she does. Here's an example of what she said.
I don't think I raised my children properly, Dr. Phil. Was I a bad mother? No, I don't think I was bad. I think I just wasn't aware. Should I have done better? Yeah, of course I should have done better. I should have paid more attention to my children. Should I have realized that they had problems too? Of course I should have realized that. But I suppose I didn't. I wasn't the greatest mother. Am I trying to make up for that now? Yes, I am, because I want a closer relationship with my children. Do they deserve a closer relationship? Yes, of course they do. She was saying this all herself. She was a one-woman conversation. Do you know people like that who ask themselves questions in lieu of you not saying anything? Or even if you do say something, she doesn't need you. She's doing her own conversation. It's funny. It's just funny. It's entertaining.
Oh, people have funny quirks, and I recognize all of them. That's the problem. I'm the guy who sits in the park on a nice day on a park bench by himself, and you're probably wondering, what's going on in that guy's head? Why is he just sitting there on the park bench by himself? Because he's watching you. Be silly. I love watching people go by. I know a lot of people like to do this too. You just sit on a bench and you watch life go by in front of you. It's very, very calming. Because you can say through the whole thing, at least I'm not them. Oh, look at that. At least I'm not her. It's a wonderful, freeing feeling. Watch other people go by with problems. It's fantastic. Have a great show for you. I know what you're saying. When's that going to start? Cute. I get it. It's going to start soon. We have a great interview toward the end of the show, as we do on every program. Hey, you know, tell your friends about the program. This is how I get paid, you know. Tell them about it. You can find me on newenglandbroadcasting.com, on the SoundCloud, the Spotify thing, on the YouTube thing, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Lift the Toilet Bowl Lid. I'm probably in there too. I'm on every platform. I don't know what that means. I'm on every digital platform. I still don't understand what you're talking about. I don't do the Twitter thing. I have a Twitter account, because it's free. I have things that are free. I don't use them, but I have them. If I ever want them, they're there. I don't do Twitter stuff. I don't read anybody's twits or twats or anything like that. The only Twitter thing I know about is when Trump does his Twitter thing. That's the only time I ever hear about Twitter. I mean, you know, you get the impression that everybody has Twitter and everybody's expounding their opinions 24 hours a day. No, not, most people don't. Most people don't read that crap. Most people don't care how you feel. What makes you think that anybody wants to read about your feelings about something? Nobody cares. Nobody cares when you're saying it to their face, much less when you write it down in a couple of words and hit send, or whatever that little icon stupid thing is. There's people walking down the street in towns and cities across the country are not tweeting everything. It's fictitious. Yeah, a lot of people have Twitter accounts, but most of them don't use them because why? Why do you think someone else cares about that? Well, Ron, why do you do a podcast? What's your point? Well, first of all, I make a living off of it. And secondly, we have a lot, 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 lot of listeners. I think I told you this before. It's so funny, and I don't know why it is. And we have... We get numbers here on the show as to how many people are listening on any for any given show, any given episode. The numbers show what platform, is it Android, is it iPhone, is it desktop? It shows all that stuff, and it shows geographically what parts of the country listen to this show on a regular daily basis, what radio stations are picking up. It tells me everything. It tells me how many times I took a shit today. It tells me everything. There's one country that's out of the United States that really has a lot of listeners on this show. And I'm like, whoa, it's Norway. What the fuck? Norway? Why? What about my show? You've heard my show before, I assume. What about my show is so Norwegian? I don't even understand. I did a bit about IKEA half a year ago. I don't even think that's Norwegian. I don't even know. How much I know about that. Anyway, to my friends in Norway, how you doing? Thanks for listening. Why? Why are you listening to this? Let's talk about Trump. We don't have to, but I think it's important. There's this tariff war going on with China. In case you're not familiar, the stock market has been queasy about it. It's lost a lot of money, bounced back a little bit. It's not going to stay there. It's going to go down again. Trump is challenging China, saying, hey, we've been paying tariffs, you know, we've been paying taxes on the stuff you send to this country, and you know, we don't make you do that, so now we are. So I'm going to charge you 25%. Everything that you buy for this country, China, is going to cost you 25% tax. I said, oh, yeah? That's not their accent, by the way. Oh, yeah? All right, everything you buy from China is going to be 25%. Oh. So Trump says, well, yeah, that's not a big deal. Well, the stock market took a dive. Everything we buy in this country is from China. I think you know that. Everything. Your spouse is from China. Everything. Businesses aren't going to absorb that tax, that extra 25% to bring goods into the country to sell to you. They're going to pass on that expense to you. So prices are going to go up on everything. Well, what about people in this country? What about the farmers? Well, you see, China buys a lot of our farm products. That's their big thing. They buy a lot of soybeans and other farm products from this country. Well, it's going to cost them 25% more. So China says, well, we're not going to buy as many farm products then, show you. So now the farmers in this country are going, hey, what the fuck are you doing here? I mean, now China's not going to buy our stuff? Trump is just like, I agree with what he's saying, but the way that Trump does things, it's not that I disagree completely with what he does, although it's pretty close to complete. It's the way he goes about it is just so stupid. He does everything himself, and that's a problem. Trump yesterday asked for, this is unbelievable, $15 billion to subsidize the farmers. That means, well, don't worry, farmers. We know that things are going to be rough for a while because China's not going to buy your stuff. We're gonna give you $15 billion here to so you don't go under. Okay, where is that $15 billion going to come from, Don? The American taxpayers. So, not only are we getting screwed by paying more for a product when we buy it here in the United States, now we're going to, the $15 billion of our money is going to go to farmers so that they don't go under. Nice job, Trumpy. Nice way to execute. I just remember for years and years Trump saying, we're going to build the wall and Mexico is going to pay for it. Mexico said, oh, no, we're not. Oh, no, we're not. And guess what? They don't. Congress approved in some type of deal to give Trump a certain amount of money for his wall. Trump declared a national emergency to get the rest of the money he needed for the wall. Who's paying for the wall? We are. You are. I am. Who's paying for this trade war? You are. I am. Who's paying to keep the farmers from like shutting down because no one's buying their stuff from China? Who's going to pay that bill? We are. You are. I am. This is a very expensive deal that's going on. The country is in its deepest deficit ever with Mr. Money at the helm. Don, here's the problem, Trumpy baby. You can't declare bankruptcy. The United States can say, I'm sorry, we declare bankruptcy, not going to pay you back. No, Don, you don't get it. Please, Donald, just pack up the suitcase and get the hell out of Washington, please. Then they can arrest you and indict you and put you in jail where you belong and you'll be quiet. You can tweet, I suppose. I don't know if they keep your phone in jail. We'll find out. But finally, you're going to be wearing a jumpsuit that's going to match your complexion. So it's not all bad. And Pence, I don't like him either, but better than the devil. So, all right, that's politics for you. Thank you very much. You're listening to the Ron Van Dam Show, and I really think that that's pretty cool.
We could play all the cool, exciting bumper music we want, and it won't change the fact that you're listening to a grumpy old man with a bug up his ass about just about everything. It's Ron Van Dam on New England Broadcasting. This kind of music gives him a screaming headache. That's why we play it.
It does give me a screaming headache. Everything does because I have allergies. I refuse to take allergy pills. I refuse. I don't like them. I don't know why. I take enough pills. When I have a headache, I take a pill. When my blood pressure goes through the roof, I take a pill. When I eat too much steak and ribs, I take a cholesterol pill. I take a pill for everything. I take a multivitamin. I did a show about that a couple of days ago. I just started to take multivitamins again. I don't know why. I don't know, because I'm an American and I'm supposed to take pills all day. I don't know. I don't do what I'm supposed to do. I have to start doing what I'm supposed to do. Why? Because I'm supposed to do that. I'm still trying to drink coffee every morning. I can't get into it. I don't like the taste of coffee. I'm not into it. The only way coffee tastes good is if you put milk and sugar in it. And then, like, what's the point of the coffee? Something to pour the milk and sugar in is about it. I've been just brainwashed to, I'm supposed to like coffee. I'm supposed to get up in the morning. I'm supposed to have coffee. That's my job. It's just, you can brew it yourself with little pods. They put little coffee beans in little pods, little fabric pods, look like coffee-filled raviolis, and you put them in a machine, and It costs like $2,000 a day. I don't really know. It's just, and it's not even satisfying. It's fucking bean juice. So, I mean, I don't really understand that either. So you're supposed to go to a coffee place like a Dunkin' Donuts. I don't know what the hell the name of that place is anymore. Starbucks? I don't know what planet those people are from. They're different. They're just different. There's something different about people who work at Starbucks. I don't know if they train them to be different, but they're not like me. So I don't go in there at all because I'm scared because I think I'm going to be abducted and taken to their planet. I don't like them. I don't like them at all. It's like I'm supposed to learn their language or something. I don't even know what a latte is or a cappuccino or a floppuccino or a latte platte. I don't know what the hell you're talking about. I just wanted a cup of coffee. That's all I wanted here. Come on, man. Break it on down. So I'm supposed to go to these places. Go to a gas station now to put gas in my car, which apparently is necessary to do to make the car move. Just found that out. And yeah, you know, find out that every gas station now has coffee ready for me. I'd like, what? Like, what does that have to do with anything? Why is coffee being offered to me at every gas station now? Gas station coffee is 89 cents. I know exactly what it is. It's 89 cents, not 90, not a dollar. It's 89 cents. And it's brewed and it's damn fine coffee. I think my car will run on it. It's a cheaper way to run your car, running on coffee, huh? 89 cents. Dunkin' Donuts, whatever you call yourselves. $2.89. We're hitting three buck area. Starbucks, second mortgage your home, because that stuff's really expensive. Anyway. Yesterday I was talking about dogs and how we treat dogs like they're human beings. We talk to them and we expect them to respond accordingly. All that strange stuff that we do with animals and dogs. So I thought today it would be apropos. You like that? Apropos? You like that word? You know what it means? It would be fitting under the circumstances. It would be fitting to speak to a gynecologist. What? No. A veterinarian. Ooh, I had that wrong, didn't I? What's the difference between a gynecologist and a veterinarian? A lot. Because it's flea and tick season. And those little collars that you buy in the store that keep the fleas and ticks away, they don't fit around my neck. I realized that's for the dog. I did not know that. So a lot of stuff apparently I don't know that I have to figure out for myself. Yeah, fleas and ticks, man, they're all over the place. I have allergies. I know fleas and ticks are responsible for that. So today we're going to speak to a veterinarian, a vet. Do I have that? Hold on a second here. Let me see if I have that in my thing here. Yeah, here, I'm going to play this for you. This happened way back when I was on the radio about 15 years ago or less. This is back like in 2000, I think it was 2010 or something. I was doing an interview, and it was Veterans Day. I was doing a Veterans Day interview, and here it is. This is the introduction. It was embarrassing, but funny at the same time.
Okay, let's do the thing here. Let's speak to, actually we're going to talk about Veterans Day. Good morning, how are you?
Hi, good morning.
Well, how did you spend Veterans Day yesterday? I know you did some special stuff.
Well, I think I spent Veterans Day thanking the veterans in the world, sir. But actually I'm a veterinarian, and that's who you're speaking with.
That's
Dr.
right.
John DeYoung, and I'm a veterinarian.
Look, I figure one vet is good for another vet.
Absolutely. But I'm here to talk to you about the 150th anniversary of the American Veterinary Medical Association, on which I serve on the executive board, and any questions you guys might have about the veterinary profession, veterinary care for your animals, etc.
And And I thank the veterinarians for making our country safe and what it is. I'm trying to tie the two together. Now,
sure will.
Okay.
Well, what we do, interestingly enough, Ron, is that veterinarians are involved with food safety, and all of the foods that are inspected in the armed services are done through veterinarians. So veterinarians play a very important role
in food
safety, not only for our troops,
and I knew that,
but also for people here at home.
That was my point to begin with.
Okay. Absolutely.
Now, all right. You know, I wanted to ask about pet insurance and the cost of going to a vet.
Oh, man, that was embarrassing. Back in those days, I had producers who would set. I didn't set up the interviews at all, and they would slip me notes to who I was talking to. And they had the guy's name. And after that said vet, and it was Veterans Day, and I figured, okay, this makes sense. Boy, was I wrong. Okay, we're going to actually talk to a veterinarian about flea and tick stuff for dogs, because that's really important, because you don't want that stuff crawling all over your animals. But we'll be right back, and we'll do that right after this.
Gentlemen, have you ever been in the mood for a nice knish, or maybe bagel in the schmear, but you're also in the mood for some exotic dancing? You can't find those in the same place. Until now. I'm Moishe Kaufman, inviting you to come visit us at Moishe's Knish and Strippers, the area's first genuine kosher deli and titty bar. Come in and rock out with your locks out and check out our dancers. These girls are so nice, you'll plots, and they're all certified kosher. Maybe not the kind of girl you bring home to mother, but once you see Delia fold a dollar bill without using her hands, you won't care what mom thinks. Look, Bubby, you're in a strip club. That alone is enough to kill her. So live a little. Every Thursday, don't miss our buns and brisket buffet from noon to 6. Moishe's Knish and Strippers is closed on the Sabbath. Hey, we might be a little unorthodox, but we're not heathens.
Hi, Ron.
How you doing?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Great. Dr. Ruth McPeat joins us. She is the pet vet. Need I say more? I'm going to squeeze you for as much information as I can during our time together, because most of us have pets, and this is the time of season where it gets a little weird. I love the spring and all that, but it does bring on a new set of problems, I think, as far as dogs.
Yes.
Yeah, it's awful.
Definitely. Well, it's just that, you know, as the weather warms across the country,
yep,
people and their dogs are spending more time outside, and so they're exposed to more creepy critters that can be out there. And, you know, most people know already about fleas and mosquitoes and how to protect their pet, but one of the things that people often don't think about are ticks.
Yeah.
And these guys are more than just creepy. They can carry a number of different diseases. The most common is Lyme disease, and so it's really important. I want to make sure everybody knows about ticks and how they can protect their dogs from Lyme disease.
Yeah. Now, if your dog gets ticks, can you get ticks from your dog?
People can get ticks as well, but usually they're picking up the tick themselves.
Yeah.
So if you're out on a hike or you're outside, you just like your dog, you
yeah
can come across a
okay
tick. That's the most common way that people get them,
all
is
right
that they pick them up just like the dog does.
All right, because my dog sleeps in my bed, you know. I don't know if you knew that or not, but so it grows some great concern on my part. I hear about deer ticks, and what if someone says, well, I don't have any deers around my yard?
Well, that's a great question. The, you know, Lyme disease is actually caused by a bacteria that
okay
is spread by ticks.
Mm-hmm.
It's spread by a tick called Ixodes scapularis, and also more commonly known as the deer tick. And the main host is the deer, obviously,
uh-huh,
but ticks can be found on a number of different animals,
oh,
so mice, lizards, lots of different things, but obviously the main host is the deer. And deer are found all across the country, and the incidence of Lyme disease is increasing. Tick populations are increasing. So I would definitely recommend that people, just because you think you don't have ticks, that people really look at the CDC's website, look at caninetickcontrol.com's website, and get some more information, because you would be surprised. We're seeing ticks in suburban backyards, in dog parks, and places you wouldn't think they'd be.
Yeah. Are ticks just like a certain time of the year? Like, it's rained a lot in the Northeast, and there's been storms in the Midwest and such. So you'd figure, do they feast off of moisture? Are they always there? What's the deal with that?
Ticks can be a year-round problem. They are out anytime it's above freezing. So if the weather's above freezing, they're out and they're looking for a blood meal.
Oh boy.
So you do need to be careful. The rain, that's a great question. The rain definitely makes ticks happy, because the rain has obviously increased vegetation and plants all across the country. So that gives them more hiding spaces, and so it is a factor as to why we're probably seeing more, more ticks, as well as the fact that the deer population has increased.
Okay. So there are more ticks than usual. It seems like everything on this planet's getting a little more intense these days.
Yeah,
but I don't want to get political about this. But anyway, so what do I do? How do I prevent my dog from getting ticks?
Well, the best thing that people can do to prevent their dog from getting ticks is I recommend that they make sure they have their dogs on a safe and effective tick control product, something like NexGard. NexGard kills fleas and ticks fast, and it's also the only FDA-approved product that prevents Lyme infections by killing the deer tick before Lyme infections can be transmitted.
Okay, I didn't know that. All right. What about checking your dog for fleas? Is it a good idea to check them every evening, or do you? I mean, it's not something you noticed in their personality or anything. I mean,
that's a great question. In addition to having your pet on a tick control product, I recommend daily checks. And the daily checks are really to look to see if they have picked up any ticks when they've been outside.
Yeah.
Because one thing that a lot of people don't realize is they think that their pet is only going to be exposed to ticks if they go on a hike or they venture into the woods. But like I said, we're finding that ticks are popping up in dog parks, suburban neighborhoods.
Yep.
So you do want to check your pet every night, definitely if they come in from a hike or a walk or they've been outside. And if you see a tick, you want to make sure to get it off right away. Yeah.
Now, this is about the point where we would show pictures of what ticks look like, but this is radio, so we can't. So where would we go to see like what they look like so we can remove them?
There is a great website, canineTickControl.com, and that will give you information about how to prevent ticks from getting on your dogs and how to prevent Lyme disease in dogs. CDC also has information and pictures of ticks, and then some great information about how to remove ticks, because a lot of people don't know how to do that.
Yeah. Just because you're moving from the dog, it doesn't mean that they're dead, right, necessarily.
Well, if you remove them, that's good. You do want to make sure you kill them.
Yeah.
But the big thing, and dispose of them properly.
Yeah.
But the big thing is that a lot of times people don't realize that you can't just pull them out you'll hear lots of different myths and lots of different things that people think about how to get a tick out if it's embedded in a dog or a person.
Uh-huh.
But there's a safe way and a proper way to remove a tick, and there's a lot of other ways. Again, the CDC website has ways to properly remove a tick from a person or a dog, and I would highly recommend people look at that. And then there's obviously tick keys and different products you can get to help you take the tick out safely.
All right. So again, give me the CDC website in this regard, and also a place where I can get good tick prevention.
So canineTickControl.com is a great website for pet parents, dog parents that want to learn more about how to protect their dogs from ticks.
Okay. And prevention, so that my dog doesn't get the ticks, what kind of things can they wear, applications?
Yeah. again, most important thing is to have your dog on a safe and effective tick control product like NexGard, checking them daily. You can talk to your veterinarian also about a vaccine if you're in a Lyme endemic area. And there is a vaccine available for Lyme disease. Really depends on the area you're at. And again, I always recommend people speak to their veterinarian to find out what they recommend for their particular pet.
Well, you answered my questions, and it's certainly something that if you have a dog, and most of us do, you got to do something about this. You got to be aware. Dr. Ruth McPeat, thank you so much for spending the time today and giving us that information. She is indeed the pet vet. Can we follow you anywhere? I mean, that sounded bad.
Yeah.
That sounded a little stalkish, didn't it?
Yeah, no stalking, but yeah, you can. I have a website, drruthpetvet.com, and it has all my social media links. And thank you, Ron, so much for talking to people about this important topic and keeping pet parents informed.
Good to talk to you. Take care.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Well, that'll do it for me today. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. I know. It's crazy, isn't it? So until then, I wish you peace.